on the program today. Later on, we're going to hear some music from the musical The Secret Garden, and we've got some cast members with us from the Danville Light Opera production to talk about that a little bit. First up on the show, however, is this year's Krannert Center debut artist, Chen Yu Huang, who is the first harpist to win that honor, and she's giving her recital at the Krannert Center this Sunday. She's in the studio with us, and we'll hear about her program and a little bit about how she got where she has got. First, this is one of the pieces that's on the program. It's an impromptu by the French composer of the 19th and 20th century, Albert Roussel. Harpist Marcus Klinko, whose name I just love. That is an impromptu by Albert Roussel. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, good afternoon. I'm your host, Kevin Kelly. The show's on every weekday from 12 to 1. And on the program for this portion, we have harpist Chen Yu Huang, who recently won the Krannert Center Debut Artist Award, I guess you call it an award. And this is something that has been going on for how long? Bridget Lee Kalfas is with us from the Krannert Center.
Well, the competition actually goes back to 1984, although the debut artist has only been on the Krannert Center Salon Series since 1990.
And up until then, it was part of the School of Music?
That's correct, and it continues to be a collaboration between the Krannert Center and the School of Music.
So is it always School of Music performers? Is it closed to those? I mean, it's open
it is
only
a closed competition. The way that we get the candidates for the competition is that each department in the School of Music is able to nominate a certain number of their students. And so there's a certain number of pianists, a certain number of string players, a certain number of horn players, etc. And then there's a panel every year that decides amongst those students.
And if I remember over the years, the most common winners are pianists and violinists, probably.
Definitely, I would say overwhelmingly, most of the winners have been pianists. And we've had a number of different instruments. And of course, last year's winner was actually a singer. But as you mentioned earlier,
Melissa Davis, right?
Melissa Davis, yeah. A mezzo soprano, a student of Ollie Watts Davis, also a past winner herself.
No relation, by the way.
No relation.
A bunch of people assume that it was her daughter, because she does have a couple of daughters, at least one of whom sings.
That's correct, but no relation, just a coincidental last name from a student and teacher. And of course, we had a wonderful experience last season, not only with Melissa, but we had two saxophone players who sort of had honorable mention, and they performed in the 40th anniversary celebration for the center last May. And we've had a couple of honorable mentions over the years who have given smaller concerts after the debut artist. But as you mentioned, this is our very first harpist to win the competition. So it's particularly exciting this year.
And I assume other harpists have tried before.
Tried and failed, as they say. Certainly, as I said, it's up to the discretion of the faculty whom they nominate. So I think it really does require a special musician to be selected in an instrument that has a relatively small department for them to be at the caliber where they can compete against any other instrumentalist in the entirety of the School of Music.
Yeah, which is a pretty major School of Music, and there's a lot of other performers. So Chen Yu Huang, congratulations. Oh, I should turn your microphone on.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, both for turning the mic on. And yeah, the congratulations. So that's quite an honor. And folks who are regular in this program may remember, as I did, having heard you on this show last summer, you said it was, I think?
I think it's last summer.
Yeah, last summer. And I don't remember what the occasion was. Do you?
I think it's for Dr. Ann's summer harp class.
That's Ann Young, who is the professor of harp here. Oh, that's
yes.
Right. I think you're right, yeah. And I told you in my email that aside from remembering your name and how well you played, I remembered a distinctive aspect of your harp. Is it still, are they still there?
Yes, my booty is still on my pedals.
She has little booties, very cute knitted booties on her pedals of the harp. And it's really, It was very attractive and quite surprising. But they're, I imagine they're give you a certain sense of security or lightheartedness, or what do you have those things on there for?
I think it just for, well, I'm kind of neat person, so I want to keep my pedal clean. And also it actually reduced the sound that when we tap the pedals, sometimes you will hear the noise, but the booties will keep the sound down.
Well, it's like when you get anywhere near ballet dancers on a wooden stage.
Yeah, something like that.
You have no idea from watching television that all the noise they make. And if you get close to a harpist, you initially wonder, what is that noise? Uh-huh. Because most people don't ever see the harpist using their feet.
Yeah, it's all hiding in our dress, I guess.
Well, that's true. That's true, assuming you're not wearing pants. But mostly because people don't see the bottom of the harp. They see the hands, they see the graceful motions and so on. But to play the harp using the pedals is probably one of the big challenges.
Pedal is used for accidental notes, so it works like the black keys on the keyboard. So the more chromatic your music is, the more intensively you need to use your pedals. So it's a big challenge that you need to memorize your pedals, and you need to keep it clean and not to make any noise.
Yeah.
So it is a really big challenge.
first of all, how long have you been playing the instrument?
I studied the harp from age of 12. So that makes me, well, do I need to expose my age?
You don't
age?
Have to. I mean, that's entirely up to you. You don't have to do any such thing. Anyway, you've been playing for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're from Taiwan. Is harp is commonly played in Taiwan? I just have no idea.
Not really. Not as common as in U.S. It's a very small community, harp community in Taiwan. I almost know all the people.
Really?
Yeah, and we have a small association, and like my friends and I compete in the same competition all the time. And whenever who have like master class, all of harpists will show up. So it's a really small community. But I think the number of students are growing right now.
So do all the harpists in Taiwan know that you won this award?
I don't think so.
Have you told them? Have you gotten on Facebook and transmitted all this information?
No.
Well, maybe you should, and you'll get all these calls of support, and they'll all fly over to hear your recital.
Well, what if they ask me for a flight ticket?
Yeah, then you say no. That's when you find out how much they like you.
Okay.
Right, if they'll spring for the tickets. Well, I want to play part of the first piece that's on your program, which is music by Johann Sebastian Bach. This is the original version for keyboard. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little bit how this piece ended up on your harp program in just a moment. This is the Allemande, I think that's what I pulled up, from the Partita in B-flat, catalog 825 of Bach, played here by pianist Richard Good on Live and Local. So that was the Allemande from the keyboard Partita No. 1 of Bach, performed by Richard Good. And the full Partita is the first piece on the program by harpist Chen Yu Huang, who was the Krannert Center debut artist winner this year, and her recital is this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center. And the reason I played that is because I'm very interested to know how you managed to, or what you had to do to turn that into a harp piece, because you did the arrangement yourself, the transcription yourself.
Yes, I actually did it from a transcription already, but I didn't like most of the thing that version did, so I kind of just did it on my own.
What did you not like?
I think just the fingering, and because the fingering really affect the sound, and the fact that I was a pianist, so I played this piece before for a piano jury.
Oh, really? You were a pianist? Wow.
So I think I know what kind of sound that I want, so that kind of affect the fingering that I'm using, and what kind of voice that I want to bring out, what kind of timbre. So I just ended up to do it by myself.
You know, do I remember right that for the summer that I've actually seen you as an accompanist for other harpists? Is that possible? Have you been playing piano since you've been here at the university at all?
I play piano occasionally for harpists for accompaniment.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they don't get too much chance to rehearse with our accompanist. So sometimes I do that too.
Wow. Is it common for harpists to also be pianists? Do you know?
I know some harpists actually start piano first, like me. I started piano first, but not a lot of harpists have piano background, though.
What made you decide to go for the harp instead of just focusing on the piano?
When I was in Taiwan, we have a like music class, and all of us are required to take one instrument other than piano. So piano is a requirement, but you need to choose another instrument. And only because my piano teacher played the harp, so I chose the harp.
So that was it. So you decided to pick two instruments that you can't transport anywhere.
I guess so.
I mean, the piano, of course, you can't really unless you're Horowitz and you haul your own piano around. Mm-hmm. And the harp is can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Worse than just about anything else besides a bass, I guess. But even a bass, you can get in much smaller spaces. Mm-hmm. So coming back to the transcription, so were you able to, when you go from piano to harp, are you pretty much able to preserve everything, preserve all the notes?
Yeah, this is the ideal situation. Like, you just do all the notes that he has. And
whereas when people take keyboard pieces of Bach or anybody else and then transcribe them for, say, the violin, which has happened, mm-hmm. that's a whole nother challenge because mm-hmm. you obviously can't play everything. Mm-hmm. But the harp, you've got the same number of fingers available.
Yep. Not really. Wait. Oh.
No?
We only use 8 fingers. We didn't use our pinky.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Is it just because it's too short to reach around, or?
I think so. Well, it goes from different schools. Some schools teach like 5-finger technique, but I think no one is playing that right now. And I think because of the angle that we are playing, pinky are really too short to play on harp, and it's too weak too.
I thought maybe it was also because, you know, like conductors, the stereotype is you stick the pinky up in the air and it's supposed to look elegant or something like that. Or, yeah, but that's not the reason.
No,
I didn't really think so. Chen Yuhuang is the Krannert Center debut artist this year, the first ever harpist after, what's the math, 26 years, I guess, of the history of this debut since 1984. You've picked a few French pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Have the French written more music for the harp than anybody else? It sort of seems like it.
I think so, because French has a really strong tradition, French school harp, French harp school. So they have a lot of harp virtuoso, like especially in 20th century. So they produce a large amount of harp music.
And you've picked a piece by a 19th century, well, mostly 20th century mm-hmm. woman named Henriette Renier,
mm-hmm.
and then also some of her transcriptions
yes.
of other keyboard pieces. Tell us a little bit about the big piece of hers that's going to end the first half.
This piece is my favorite piece in my program. It has three episodes, and the first this piece is written inspired because one of Rainier's cousin dead, and she so the beginning of the first episode is a sudden shock of the news, of the bad news. And then the first episode is about a funeral march. Second episode is about the her anger about this unfortunate death. But the third episode, it's about like her hope and for the future and transfiguration. This is a really deep spirit piece of her.
Is this your favorite, or do you feel a particular closeness to this piece because of something in your own experience, or you just feel the emotional quality of it?
I think I just feel the emotional quality of it, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to hear the beginning of it, so we won't get to the hope part, but to experience the hope aspect of this piece, you'll have to go to the recital of Chen Yuhuang. This performer here, as it happens, you said this is a favorite recording of yours as well.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm saying the name of the harpist right. Maybe you know better. Xavier de Maistre, something like
yes.
that? Okay, is the harpist. It's music by Henriette Renier. Her symphonic piece is what it means from the French, and that's exactly what it looks like. And here is the opening of that here on Live and Local. And that's a portion, about half, a little more than half, of the pièce symphonique, or symphonic piece, by Henriette Renier, and a performance here by Xavier de Maistre on the harp on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear that entire piece in all its grief and hope, eventually, on the recital, the Krannert Center debut artist recital, with harpist Chen Yuhuang, who's my guest on this portion of Live and Local. That recital is this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center. And Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center tells me that what they call the salon seating, which is on stage with the harpist, you can surround the harpist, is sold out. But there's still seating in the choral balcony, and that's a pretty big balcony, so there should be plenty of seats.
Yes, there's plenty of seating available in the choral balcony, and those tickets are just $10 for adults and only $5 for students. So it's an excellent opportunity if you have a young student in your life, you'd like to come and let them be inspired by this young artistry. It's a great opportunity to do so, and of course they can get tickets on the website at krannertcenter.com or by calling the ticket office at 217-333-6280.
And, you know, I have a young harpist in the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, and she told me a little while ago that she can't come to rehearsal next week. I wonder if this is the reason.
Well,
maybe
it's a pretty
she's going to be
excuse.
At your recital. I was going to say I'm going to not let her come as long as she goes to your recital. I have to make sure she's going, because that would be a very good idea. Rachel, if you're listening, I hope you're going to Chen Yu's recital, because you certainly should. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again, and again, congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much.
You call it an award? I mean, do you call it an award, kind of?
Yeah, certainly. It's a debut artist. The concert is the award, of course.
Right.
And we're so pleased to be presenting to such a worthy candidate this season.
Yeah, the first ever harpist. And what do you hope to do when you finish your doctoral program eventually? What are the job prospects for harpists?
Harpists have, we have a lot of choice to make. We can either do gig, or we can play in church, or we can choose to play in orchestra, or we can be a soloist, or we can apply for academic job. And I think I will just try everything that is open, like when I graduate. And see how it turns out.
Do you have any particular favorite kinds of things to do? I mean, do you enjoy orchestral playing? Have you done much of that, for example?
I really enjoy orchestral playing and also opera playing. But that really have few demands. And you also need to be like, we need to wait for if there's any opening in the orchestra. But sometimes they open like sub harpists, because sometimes the harpists are in vacation or something like that. So maybe I will try apply some of them first.
Yep. Yeah. There's usually only one harpist in an orchestra, and some of those folks stick around till they're very old.
I heard that before.
Yeah. That is true of a lot of orchestral players. Although, it's my impression that's not as true as it used to be, because a lot of the orchestras seem to be younger than they were, particularly the European ones. I was really surprised when I saw the Berlin Philharmonic. I forget if they were here. I just saw them on recording, and that's a very young ensemble. So I don't know if people are recognizing their burnout and they just decide to quit instead of stick around and be burned out. But I don't know if that happens with the harpists. There's still only one. So best of luck in your job search when you get to that. Well, we're going to go out with another keyboard piece, originally a keyboard piece, also by a French composer, although this is a harp transcription. Henriette Renier, whose music we just heard, did a few of the transcriptions that are on the rest of your program, mm-hmm. all from keyboard pieces?
A couple
by Louis-Claude Daquin, whose music we're about to hear, one by François Couperin, and one by Franz Liszt.
Yes.
Which doesn't always get turned into harp music, I don't think.
Yes, because Rainier was very devoted to expand the harp repertoire, so she just transcribe a very large amount of from piano music or just keyboard music.
So it gives you a lot more to play than you already have.
Yes, and you always challenge the harpist to the best, because it's not an ideal harp technique. So it's a really good teaching piece too.
Well, Nancy Allen is the harpist for this performance of The Cuckoo by Louis-Claude Daquin. Henriette Renier did the transcription that Chen Yu Huang will perform on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. She's this year's Krannert Center debut artist, the first harpist to win that. And that's Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. For more information, call the Krannert Center, 217-333-6280. Or you can go on the website, krannertcenter.org, but you can find it either way. Music by Daquin, The Cuckoo, and thanks to Chen Yu Huang for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
We heard some music by Daquin, arranged by Nancy Allen. The Cuckoo, it's called. And that was one of the pieces that's going to be on Chen Yu Huang's recital this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Coming up in just a moment, some cast members are with us from Danville Light Opera's production of The Secret Garden. And we'll hear some music from that show as well. Support for today's broadcast comes in part from the Music Shop and Pro Sound Center, now located at 27 East Market View Drive in Market View Plaza, Champaign. The Music Shop specializes in the sales and rental of band and orchestra instruments, digital keyboards, guitars, amps, and drums, along with a wide variety of sheet music. We also have support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to experience the thrilling athleticism of MOMIX on April 29th and 30th. More information on this and other events can be found at krannertcenter.com. Secret Garden is a popular musical amongst community theaters across the country, or among, if you want to say it that way, and it is going to be performed this weekend at the Danville Area Community College Theater in the Brammer Conference Center by Danville Light Opera, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we have four, are you all cast members?
Yes.
We are.
All in the cast, because I know a couple of you sort of in other capacities, either director or music director, and yet here you are, all going to be performing in the show. Jody Prosser is in the role of Lily, and Michael Steen, Archibald Craven. David Zitch is Dickon. And where are you, Craig? Craig Krukowit is the...
Fakir.
Fakir is the name of the character. I've seen this show twice. I saw it at Villa Grove.
We were...
Yeah, were you going to tell me you were all in that?
In fact, I was Lily and he was Archibald
in that
production.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know...
On certain nights.
When the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company did it, I know, Mike, you were Dickon. Mm-hmm.
And I was Rose.
And you were in that, too.
Yes.
Wow. You don't get tired of this show, huh?
Apparently,
no. So much. We're addicted. That's why we're driving so far to be involved. We're addicted.
Are you? You're all in Champaign-Urbana.
Mm-hmm. I live in Tuscola right now.
You live in Tuscola. Craig, you're in...
Urbana, yes.
And in Danville. I assume the process to get into Danville Light Opera Show is just like any other, that they hold auditions and
yes.
you all show up. And they recognized your intimate experience with this show and said they just have to cast you in these various roles.
Or they read our resumes and thought we were lunatics, and maybe they thought that would be fun. I don't know, because, Mike... Well, I think all three of us actually have been involved with this show four times.
I've been four times, yes.
Yeah, four times.
Okay, well, let's hear what is it about Secret Garden that keeps drawing you back?
The music.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The music is haunting and ethereal and wonderful.
It's the best music.
It's just awesome.
Okay, in that case, we'd better hear some of it. What did you choose first? We have, I know we're not doing live in studio, but we did bring
the original Broadway cast.
The original Broadway cast.
Right,
okay.
And we figured we would set up kind of the beginning of the show and the story by playing the segment that is on the train platform and goes into House Upon the Hill to tell the story of when Mary is coming from India to her uncle's
Mary
manor.
Is a young girl.
Mary is a young 10-year-old, I think she's 10, 10-year-old girl. Her parents and everyone she knew basically have died of the cholera in India, and so she's being sent to this relative whom she's never met and is only really her relative by marriage because he was married to her Aunt Lily, who I'm playing, but Lily is dead, and I know that's strange. Yes, I'm playing a dead person, but that's the way this show goes. She's going to live with him, and so this segment kind of sets that up. Her uncle's housekeeper goes to get her on the train platform, and you hear the kind of the dreamers or ghost-type people in the background singing The House Upon the Hill.
From The Secret Garden, book and lyrics by Marcia Norman, music by Lisa Simon, based on the novel of Frances Hodgson Burnett, going to be performed at Danville Light Opera this weekend.
Mary Lennox, I'm your uncle's housekeeper. I suppose you'd like to know somewhat about where you're going.
Would I?
Or don't you care about your new home, then?
It doesn't matter whether I care or not.
This is Dr. Craven, your uncle's brother.
How do you do?
You ought to take her to her room. He doesn't want to see her.
Very good, Doctor. There you are, then, Mary. Good night.
Well, that's a creepy setup for the show. I was just saying to the cast, which they obviously already knew, it really sounds sort of Sweeney Todd-ish in its sinister opening there. Mary Lennox, I would think that she would be a little frightened to be coming to this house, and I guess she is initially. Mary Lennox is the young girl. And Archibald Craven is the uncle.
Yes.
Who is a rather bitter old man.
He's a bitter man. I don't know that he's necessarily old. It is, the Victorian era, so he could have had children, in the not so old time. Yeah, but he's a hunchback, and this huge manor fell upon him, and he met the woman that he loved, and she loved him back, even though he was a cripple, which in that period was a huge stigma, and then she died.
Giving birth to their child.
She fell from a tree in her garden and broke her back and had the child prematurely and then passed away. And he spent 10 years mourning her. He's just not recovered from it at all, letting the house fall apart around him and just essentially living in his own little dream world.
And one of the points of the show is that, if I remember right, Mary helps to bring
comes
him out of himself.
Back into this house and discovers the garden, the secret garden that he's locked away where Lily died, and discovers his son, who's also been hidden away. Her cousin, Colin. And she helps to bring the house back to life and bring everyone in it back to life. And it's a really a beautiful show. It's not at all Sweeney Todd-like in story. It's lovely, really.
All right, there's no blood and gore.
No, absolutely
in
not.
In the secret garden.
No.
It is a children's story, after all. A classic of children's literature, I guess. Have you all read the book?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have, yes.
Many times.
I haven't, really. Well, I should try it sometime. Mm-hmm.
It's a good book.
I've gotten onto a book kick all of a sudden. I'm just sort of eating some of these up, so maybe someone needs to give that to me, because I don't want to buy any books right now. I have too many. Then there's also this character who shows up in the garden, a very curious character with the curious name of Dickon.
Yes. So Dickon he's sort of a druid, almost. He spends most of his time outdoors, communing with nature, the animals. He talks to birds and claims in conversations with other people that they talk back to him. There's some interpretation, you know, open as to whether they really do or not. But there's one song, actually, that's not one of the ones that we're going to play for you today, in which he teaches Mary to talk to a robin. Because there's this robin that that hangs around the garden that that you know is constantly chirping at Mary and sort of leads her to find the secret garden, both the key to it, which is hidden, which is you know hidden outside in a tree, and then to the door, which is covered over with ivy.
Because Archibald doesn't want it discovered,
right?
No doubt, yeah, and probably isn't very happy when he discovers that it's been discovered. I'm guessing.
That's the end of the show. And they need to come and see it to find that out.
Oh, really? That's the end of the show? Well, I don't remember. I don't remember anything, so maybe I got it all wrong. In any event, so are you going to sing some of that song?
I actually am going to sing a little bit of a different song.
Okay.
Because that one also involves Mary, who lives in Danville and is not here in the studio with us today. So the song I'd like to sing a little bit of, which is just going to be a cappella because we weren't able to bring a keyboardist with us, is called Winter's on the Wing. Which is the first song that that Dickon sings and is about just sort of the coming of spring, which, of course, is kind of what the whole show is about metaphorically, is the coming of spring to this house and to all of these people after, you know, this long, gloomy winter.
And so doing this in springtime is pretty
absolutely
well conceived.
This is the right time of year for the show, as the weather's starting to warm up and everyone gets a little bit happier because it's nice outside and all of that.
David Zitch in the role of Dickon in Danville Light Opera's production of The Secret Garden here on Live and Local.
Winter's on the wing, here's a fine spring morn. Come in clean through the night, come the May, I say. The winter's taken flight, sweeping dark cold air out to sea. Spring is born, comes the day, I say. And you'll be here to see it. Stand and breathe it all the day. Stoop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say. And now the sun is climbing high, rising fast on fire, glaring down through the gloom, gone the gray, I say. The sun spells the doom of the winter's rain. Ice and chill must retire, comes the May, I say. And you'll be here to see it. Stand and breathe it all the day. Stoop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say, begone, ye howling gales, be off, ye frosty morns, all ye solid streams begin to thaw. Melt, ye waterfalls, part, ye frozen winter walls, see, now it's starting. And now the mist is lifting high, leaving bright blue air, rolling clear across the moor, comes the May, I say. The storm will soon be by, leaving clear blue sky, soon the sun will shine, comes the day, say I. And you'll be here to see it. Oh, stand and breathe it all the day. Stoop and feel it. Stop and hear it. Spring, I say.
Nicely done without accompaniment there, Mr. Zitch.
Thank you.
David Zitch in the role of Dickon. Yes, applause well earned here on Live and Local. Danville Light Opera's presenting The Secret Garden this weekend, Friday, Saturday, 7:30. Sunday afternoon at 2 at the Bremer Conference Center, Danville Area Community College Theater. And we have four cast members with us. David, of course, you just heard. Jody Prosser in the role of Lily. And Archibald Craven is Michael Steen, who played Dickon. I mentioned when the Seas Theater Company did it. And this role of Fakir, Craig Krukowicz, tell me about how does he fit in there?
Well, the Fakir and also the Ayah, which I believe was Mary's nursemaid in India, it's apparent that they are among the first to have died of the cholera as the cholera in India spread from the natives to the English folk. I think throughout the production, the Ayah and the Fakir, who is apparently also a household servant from when Mary was in India, serve as guardian spirits for her. And progressively, she channels them more and more, leading up to a key scene at nighttime in the garden. I did this role way back at the station in 1994, and what happened at the beginning of the, the way they staged the opening was sort of the Fakir and the Ayah came out and they did this chant and they blessed the bed that Mary was about to be put down into by her father, which, sort of explains why she survived the cholera as she did. And that's always resonated with me for the character.
So these are sort of repeated dream sequences of sort,
yes.
But they're...
Yeah, flashbacks to India, whether they're literal ghosts or merely figments of Mary's imagination is, I think, up to the individual audience.
And they don't call them ghosts in the script. They're
right.
Called the dreamers.
Yes, I see that, the dreamers, yeah. So that even... that doesn't really answer the question, does it?
Right.
They don't
right.
say the dream... The Dreamers, which really raises other questions. Well, in any event, it's a beautiful show, and I wish we had more time to do more of the music. But here we are, out of time, as so often happens on this show. I'm glad you all were able to come in. And let me just mention just a couple of other performances in our area tonight. At Charleston, at Eastern Illinois University, the show Incorruptible, a dark comedy about the Dark Ages, is tonight and tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Illini Symphony is performing on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana at Smith Memorial Hall. And Ashley Riley is performing at the WEFT Studios tonight at 10 o'clock, one of their Weft Sessions performers. She's an acoustic indie folk rocker type person, and that's tonight at 10 o'clock. And what are we going to go out on? We'll go out on with one more song from
Lily's
Secret
Eyes.
Garden.
Absolutely.
Oh,
best
yeah.
song in the show.
I mean, that's actually difficult because one of the things I've thought about this show is I can't pick a favorite song.
Same way.
There are about six songs in this show that in any other show would be my favorite song.
Absolutely.
And it's just one after another,
the audience
just tugs at your heart.
So
and,
yeah,
it's
I agree with that somewhat, except this is the one for me, even when I first heard this, that, all the hair stood on the arms and it takes you back. It's just
that's because they're just singing about your eyes.
That's it. No, no, that's not it.
But
it's
true.
Because
if you had to pick just one song,
it is
song,
the prettiest male
the
duet I've ever heard. I mean, I don't know about you, but in any show, it's the prettiest male duet I've ever heard in my life.
And this is between
Archibald and
his brother
Neville, who is also in love with Lily.
Oh.
And Neville is this, upstanding doctor and everything, and she chose the hunchback over Neville, and I don't think that he ever quite figured that one
yes.
out.
Yeah. Well, that says something about Lily and about Archibald. So, Lily's Eyes from The Secret Garden. Again, it's at Danville Light Opera this weekend at the DACC Theater, Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. For information, you can email danvillelightopera@hotmail.com, or the web address is danvillelightopera.com. It's live and local on FM 90.9.
Strangely quiet, but now the storm simply rests to strike again. Standing, waiting, I think of her, I think.